to be looking at the subject of sanctification as it fits into the grand scheme on Sunday evening. I guess you would say we're looking at what we believe as Baptists, or what Baptists believe about sanctification. Sanctification, like regeneration, is one of those 50-cent words. So we're looking at another one of our 50-cent words. I almost brought a half dollar, and I was going to throw it to Theo over there and have him catch it. Have him tell me what that was that I threw at him, and bring in the thought that this is one of our 50-cent words. But then it dawned on me, kids these days probably don't know what a 50-cent piece is. Probably don't know what a half dollar is. So I opted not to go that route. Way it goes sometimes with me, I might hit him in the eye and do more damage than good, so we're not going to do that. But sanctification, we're going to take a couple weeks at least to look at this subject. Came across a couple paragraphs, a couple definitions, if you would, on the subject before we get to our definition of it. To sanctify an object means to wash, cleanse, consecrate, or set it aside for a special purpose. Sanctification is a Christian teaching about how God transforms a person, making them fit for a holy purpose. Sanctification includes a change of heart, a desire to love God and other people. It includes a change of mind, seeing the world from an honest perspective. It includes embracing the truth about life, oneself, and others. And in the future, sanctification includes a change in the body, healing and perfecting what it means to be human. Another paragraph. Sanctification is a particular aspect of the Christian teaching of salvation. It's a present experience of salvation, a process of transformation. It's an experience that happens to a person after trusting in Christ for salvation and after God's loving acceptance of them into his family. Those are a couple paragraphs along the avenue of definition for sanctification. And I want to read a good portion of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and then over in chapter 5. And if I was to be alive tonight, like I was alive this morning, I could preach myself right out of a job. And looking at these two passages of Scripture, they're unpopular. They're overwhelmingly rejected. The idea that sanctification and Christian sanctification isn't just something that is eternal, but also is external, is widely rejected. But I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. I hope you got the guts to do this. I'll just use the crude word. We spoke about eye trouble. Put your eyes aside and listen with me through the eyes of the Holy Spirit to the Word of God as it is found here in 1 Thessalonians. Can you do that tonight? I mean, honestly, openly, can you put aside preconceived ideas? Can you put aside your prejudices? Can you put aside your justifications for how you live your lives and really see what the Word of God has to say on this subject? I hope you can, because we just want to look at these verses in light of the subject of sanctification and what it has to say about sanctification. May God open our eyes to see, open our eyes to believe, open our eyes and hearts and lives to practice this doctrine of sanctification. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13, I want to read because it sets the fourth chapter up for us. And I remind you that the chapter breaks and the verse numbers and everything are of modern invention and man's invention, not evil or bad in themselves, but we many times miss the fact that when a chapter begins, it's actually a continuation of a thought in the previous chapter, and we forget how the Bible was originally written. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, Paul writing to the believers at Thessalonica, members of the church at Thessalonica, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. God make you to increase and abound in the love you have one toward another, and the love you have toward all men, even as we do toward you. So when you think about sanctification, people want to take the approach that love erases everything. Love removes any requirements. Love removes any external expectations of how we live. But this thought begins with Paul praying that we would increase and abound in our love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end, as the Lord makes your love to abound one toward another and toward all men, even as our love towards you abounds, to this purpose, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. There's that word we stress this morning. Holiness is not just something that is conceived or concealed and tucked away within a person. Amen. That you can't notice, that you can't recognize, that doesn't display itself. Holiness has its external manifestations. And love doesn't do away with those things. Love supports those things. Now listen, this is the Bible, just the Word of God, not my opinions, not my ideas, not what I have come up with, but what holy men of old spoke. Just listen, I'm going to read slowly, I'm going to pause, I'm going to say as little as possible. Now, as he prays that the Lord would make them increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as he did towards them, that they might be established, their hearts might be unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of Jesus Christ, they might be holy unto the end. Now let's begin verse 1 of chapter 4. Furthermore, this is a continuation now of these verses we've noticed in chapter 3. We beseech you. Beseech means what? To beg, to plead. Furthermore then, we beseech you, we beg, we plead with you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, how you ought to live, how you ought to conduct yourself, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have been taught and as you have heard us preach how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God, so you would abound more and more. Sanctification is about holiness. And holiness is not just displayed inwardly, but holiness is the making of the vessel inward and outward a vessel of honor for the glory of the Lord. And Paul had preached to them and Paul had taught them, though he loved them, and prayed his love would abound, he had taught them how they were to walk, conduct themselves in this world, how they were to please God, and how they were to abound more and more, not less and less, but abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Whoa! He had given them commandments. He had given them direct instructions on how they were to live, how they were to conduct themselves. Not just what was supposed to be present inwardly, but how they were to live outwardly. How that they were to live in this world and not be of this world. He had given them commandments that they had received by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication is not just singularly the act of premarital sex. That is what it is by one definition. But fornication is also moral wickedness. Generally speaking, moral wickedness. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Who does this involve? Every single one of God's people. Every single one who names the name of Christ should know how to possess their vessel, their bodies. In sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As you also have forewarned. As we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us, all of us, Paul including himself, with them, Certainly we're included in this us. God hath called us not unto uncleanness, but God has called us to holiness. And throughout the whole scriptural record, you consider all those things that are found consecrated, all those things that are dedicated to God. Rather it be the wilderness tabernacle or the temple in Solomon's day, the temple as it was present in the New Testament and will be present one day when the Lord sets up his kingdom. Within and without, there was particulars. They were to be made a certain way, constructed a certain way. They were to look a certain way. They were to be within and without. Within and without. Holy unto the Lord. God has called us not to uncleanness. God has called us to holiness. I said this morning, Baptists are afraid of that word holiness or holy. But it's a Bible word. And who can refute, who can argue that as Baptists we are called to holiness, a holy walk. In light of the fact, God hath not called us to uncleanness, God has called us unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. I don't know, I didn't venture a lot of time into the subject or into studying it. But here, God has given unto us, it's not capital H, O, L, Y, capital S, P, I, R, I, T, but it's holy in reference to the Spirit. I think that's intentional. He has called us to holiness, and he has also given us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy. As of course the whole Godhead, Father and Son, are holy. Now, look over to chapter 5. Just asking you to listen. I'm asking you to pay attention. I'm asking you to, with spiritually open eyes, see what the Word of God has to say about sanctification and holiness and how much of the person it involves. Verse 8 of chapter 5. But let us, talking to believers, saved folks, in this case church folks, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, we beg, we plead you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace. Thinking about peace Sunday mornings. Holiness, separation, godliness, inward as well as outward, that which is inside and cannot be seen, and that which is on the outside which can be seen and observed, does not make for strife, does not make for anxiety, does not make for stress in the spirit. Only where the spirit is absent. And we walk in the flesh, that these things cost us our peace. These things can be so, and these things are so, and we can be peace among ourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So appearance is involved, isn't it? Appearance is important. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace. These things are not opposed to peace, but they promote peace amongst God's people. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, your whole being, without exception. And I pray to God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body, soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Can you honestly see these verses in light of the biblical teaching of sanctification? Now, sanctification, a definition that I would give. Sanctification means to set apart for sacred use. Consecrated, dedicated to God's glory. Sanctification. Set apart. For sacred use. Sanctification means to be consecrated. It means to be dedicated to God's glory. It means to be called out from the world and dedicated and consecrated to one thing. That's glorifying God. Being holy and righteous as he is holy and righteous. Set apart. Consecrated, dedicated. Another definition I would give to the subject. We mentioned it this morning. Sanctification is the process by which, according to God's will, we are made partakers of his holiness. It means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be dedicated to God's glory, God's service. It's the process by which, according to God's will, we are made partakers of his holiness. See, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. It's not my standard. It's not what's pleasing or acceptable to me, but it's his holiness that I'm supposed to show, that I'm supposed to be a partaker of. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, we know who he's talking to. Saved folks, more particularly church members. In this case, members of the Corinthian church. And as was with Thessalonians, consequently us, as he writes to the church of the Corinthians, consequently he's writing to us as one of the Lord's churches. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having the promises of God, we're to cleanse ourselves. What's the standard? From all. Whoa. From all filthiness of the flesh. Not only filthiness of the flesh, but filthiness of the spirit. We are to perfect, we are to bring to completion maturity, holiness in the fear of God. We're not only to be holy within, but we're to show holiness without. We're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Now, first thing in our outline as far as sanctification is concerned, our sanctification, our holiness, our within, our without, our total purity, consecration, dedication to God, is God's will and Jesus' prayer. To have a problem with sanctification is to have a problem with something that is identified as God's will for us. To have a problem with sanctification is to have a problem with something that Jesus prayed that we would be. Now, is that a place where a Christian wants to be? Opposed to God's will? Opposed to the prayer of Jesus? Look back in our text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just to reread these seven verses quickly. Noticing how God's will concerning our sanctification is expressed. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, how you ought to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. That's the inspired word of God. That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of us should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. It's God's will. It's legalism. It's God's will. I don't believe that. It's God's will. I reject it. It's God's will. That thoroughly, completely, within and without, it's God's will that we be partakers of His holiness. And are we manifesting the holiness of God? The holiness of God. You can't manifest the holiness of God and not stand out like a sore thumb in this world. You can't have the will of God, even your sanctification in your life, and not be hated by the world, despised by the world. See, sanctification is not about our coming out of the world. We have to live in this world. But sanctification has to do with our living holy in this world. And as we live holy in this world, people are going to notice. You're going to stand out, we're going to stand out, I'm going to stand out like a sore thumb. Worse than that. Verse 18 of chapter 5. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. The very God of peace, verse 23, sanctify you wholly. All of you wholly. Spirit, soul, and body, be blameless and preserved blameless until the coming of Jesus Christ. But now let's go to John chapter 17. John 17. Verse 14 through 18. This is the Word of God. The red letters aren't any better or any more sacred than the black letters. It's all the Word of God. But by the red letters, we do take note of the fact that this is seen as Christ speaking, as words that came from His mouth. So it was God's will, it is God's will, even our sanctification. And Jesus prayed and desired our sanctification. And He says in verse 14 of John 17, I have given them Thy word. Well, how'd the world take that? The world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is seen as, this entire chapter is seen as a prayer from Jesus Christ to the Father. I have given My people Your word. Because I have given them Thy word, they are hated. They are hated because they're not of the world. I don't pray that You take them out of the world, but I pray that You'll keep them from the world, that You'll keep them unspotted, keep them from the evil. And what did Jesus pray in verse 17? For His people, for us. Sanctify them through Thy word, or Thy truth, Thy word is truth. Our sanctification, our being set apart, our being consecrated, our being dedicated to sacred use to the glory of God, this thing which according to God's will makes us partakers of holiness, is God's will in Christ's prayer. You got to do something with that. I just don't know what God's will is. You might be able to claim that about a lot of things, but you can't claim that about sanctification. It plainly says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I just don't know what the Lord would want me to do, what the Lord prayed for concerning me. That may be true about a lot of things, but it's not true about this thing. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To be sanctified means to be set apart for sacred use, consecrated, dedicated to the glory of God. Sanctification is the process by which, according to God's will, we are made partakers of His holiness. His holiness. And our sanctification is God's will and what Jesus Christ prayed for. Let's stand together. Close there. Pick it up next week.